Bibles open up to Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4 is where we're going to start off at. I didn't announce earlier, but Pee Wee Club is going to be singing a couple songs at the beginning of the service on Wednesday night. Now, we don't always have, sometimes there's not enough kids for Pee Wee, and with that age group of 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, sometimes 6-year-olds in there, they don't always get the songs to be, but they're going to be singing Wednesday night, so I know you might want to see that. If you're a teacher in a class and you want to bring your kids out to watch that, whether master clubs or teen or whatever, it's right at the beginning of the service, so you'll only be missing a few minutes. We'll open up in prayer, and then those kids will be singing, so be praying for them. Also praying for the leaders as they try to get that group ready, so excited about that. Colossians chapter number 4. And we're going to look, and I remember the first time I read this verse when God spoke to my heart, and something that this past week I heard, once again, a little bit about one of the sermons at the conference, and God just kind of made it something personal to me. And I think we always take and try to make applications personal, sermons personal, and we should applicate them to our lives, but sometimes certain sermons hit you a little harder than others. And tonight, when we look at this passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter number 4, it's written to a church, but there's a message in it for an individual also. Colossians chapter number 4, look what it says in verse 17. And say to Archippus, don't know if I'm saying it right or not, but it seems like that's the way I would pronounce it. We're going to say his name a bunch, so if I got it wrong once, going to get it wrong a lot of times. But Archippus, it says, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your word. Lord, what a privilege it is to be a child of God. What a privilege it is to have the avenue of prayer, and Lord, to have the word of God here. But Lord, there's also something that's even special is when you give us a ministry to do. And Lord, we see this gentleman here, seems like he needs some type of encouragement. And Lord, sometimes people get lost in their ministry, or they get weary in well-doing, or they quit, or they give up. And Lord, I pray that tonight this would be an encouragement and blessing to all those. Lord, that these thoughts would be something that would help them to understand that the ministry that God's given them is something that's supposed to be serious, and something that's special because it comes from the Lord. And Lord, that you specifically are calling us to a certain ministry, and that we should do our best to fulfill it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I know that some people might have differences, opinions about conferences, and I'm thankful that a church, I've never had anybody give me a hard time about a conference. I think preachers should go. I think preachers need to be preached at. I think preachers need to hear good preaching. I listen to preaching on a regular basis throughout the week just to learn and grow. And whenever I get to go to a conference, most of the time, probably 99% of the time, it's a time that this conference has been bathed in prayer. It was kind of neat. At this conference, out on their table, they actually had prayer sheets. And on the prayer sheet, they had a name of a speaker, and they had a name of a person who was attending the conference. And what the church was supposed to do was take those things and be praying for them, and each week they would rotate and have something new. So I thought it was kind of neat. So I know it was bathed in prayer, and I know that, like I said, it was something that God worked in my heart and spoke to my heart. And I'm thankful that I'm at a church. I know there are some churches that would give the pastor a hard time for going out of town, whether it be vacation or conference, and I don't think I've ever felt that way. And it's definitely an encouragement and convicts and motivates people. Miss Maxie was back there and says, hey, does that mean you're all fired up now? And you're going to, it was cute to hear Miss Maxie back there trying to pump me up back in the Widow Lay's room. So it was nice. So, but this there was a lot of different messages. But this message here spoke to my heart probably more than anything of all the different messages I heard, because it reminded me of something really special. Number one, it reminded me about how special salvation is. I've been saved for many years. As a 9-year-old boy, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I remember sitting five, 2 or 3 rows back and coming forward. You've heard my testimony before. And it's easy to lose the wonder of it all. If you've been saved for all those years and you don't focus on the cross, you don't focus on what he did for us, you don't focus on, you know what, it can just become routine. And we get lost in that.
And I was reminded how special that was. And I don't want to ever get over being saved. I don't want to take things for granted. I want to consider on a regular basis what Christ did for me on the cross. When you think about when I survey the wondrous cross at the end, you know, it demands my life. It demands my all because of what he did for me. And that was something that was reminded at, but that wasn't the main thought that was in the message. The main part of the message was not only is it something awesome to be saved, it's something awesome to have a ministry from God. And whatever, and I know that this verse was preached to preachers. There was a whole, the church family was there, specifically Archippus. If you go and study it out, we don't know exactly where it was from or what he was. Many commentators think he was one of the ministers there, one of the preachers there. Some even think he was the son of Philemon. He's mentioned in Philemon, verse number 2. And also some even think that he was maybe a deacon that was there, because if you go and look up the word ministry, it talks about someone who serves and kind of puts the word deacon inside of there. And then all of that things, many people think Epaphras was probably the pastor at that time, and that these are people who were filling in the ministry that was there while Epaphras was with Paul. And even sometimes he was suffering, and sometimes he was nigh unto death and getting discouraged. And you have... interesting. Sometimes we see, and I think he was the pastor, or at least he was filling in there. He was some type of minister there, was inside the house. If you go back and think about Philemon being Philemon's son, and you go back and you think about it, this letter is not written to the preacher. It's written to the church. Sometimes it's written to the preacher. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, it's to the preacher. Titus, it's to the preacher. Here it's actually written to the church, and it tells the church, hey, you need to tell this guy something. I don't know about you. I don't know how many times I really would want to be mentioned in the Bible for something that is, hey, you need to tell that guy to take this seriously. And in a sense, we don't know exactly, but if you look back at some of the verses, there's a lot of different people that are mentioned. You go back to verse number 7, there's Tychius is there. You go there to verse number 9, there's Onesimus is there. You go to verse number 10, there's Aristarchus is there. You got John Mark in verse number 10. Verse number 11, you also got Jesus, which we would think of like Joshua, which is called Justice, that's there. You got Epaphras, which is one of you, talking about from being from that church, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I mean, that's a mouthful that's there. You got verse number 14, you got Luke, the beloved physician. You even got Demas there. Demas greets you. Most of us know about Demas. He's the one that did not fulfill the ministry. And that's what he's saying to this man here, Archippus. He says, fulfill the ministry that God's given you. And it's something that's special. Now, from my standpoint as a pastor, it's a great privilege to be called into a ministry. I remember when I got ordained, my mother-in-law had put on the cake that verse is found in 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who have enabled me, for that he count me faithful, putting me into the ministry. But it's not just for pastors. We all have a ministry. We all have something that God's given us to do. He's given all of us a spiritual gift. And so with this thought, I want you to try to get to this idea. Let's make sure we're fulfilling it. Let's make sure we're taking heed to it. Let's remember who we got it from, and let's finish it. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. That's what I want to hear. I remember hearing this story, and I've heard it, and I want to say that it happened at Pensacola. Most of you know that at the age probably around 20 years old, I went to Pensacola. I had I managed restaurants for a couple years before that to try to save up money. It never works. I was making good money for an 18, 19-year-old, and I didn't save up that much money. Still had to work my way through college, and I only went for 1 year. I remember at the beginning, I'm not sure if it happened in Pensacola or just heard a story, they tell you to look at the person to the right of you, look to the person to the left of you, and you know what? One of them's not going to be there when you graduate. Well, they were looking at me, and guess what? They were right. I wasn't there when they graduated. I stopped after a year. I jokingly said, hey, I found my wife. I got what I needed from Pensacola. And then I went ahead and God finally got a hold of my heart about 25 and went back to a little Bible college, and God really helped me there. But the reality, I wasn't there. I've heard it said at Bible colleges and read where the preacher was to tell you, look to the right of you and look to the left of you. One of them is not going to be there when you graduate, and the other one's not going to be there when you finish the ministry, because they're going to quit. And the reality, that's true. You see people giving up on churches and pastorates and the calling of God on their life, and they quit. They don't fulfill the ministry that they've been called to do. And so tonight, I want to think about that a little bit. Maybe you can look at it through the eyes of a pastor and see the burden that God's given me, and also apply it to your own life and the idea of how you want to take what God's given you, the ability to have a special ministry, a special calling that God's given to you. So why do you call it a calling? Acts 13:2, the Bible says, "And he ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called you.'" So Paul's writing to this church, and he's mentioned all these guys who are saying hi. He's mentioned all these guys that are there, some of them with them. They're greeting him. They have all these guys. It's nice to have fellow believers. It's nice to have fellow ministers. They're even the one in verse number 10 when it talks about my fellow prisoner. I read that in history, it says that guy became a prisoner on purpose just so he could take care of Paul while he was in bonds. I don't know if that's true or not. That's something that one of the commentators I read, and I thought that was kind of, it was interesting. But he looks at this one guy, and he says to this guy, and maybe he was ministering, maybe he was being faithful, and he was saying, "Hey, look, you need to pay attention here. This is something that's serious, and this is something that is special, but it's also something specific. I want you to fulfill what I've called you to do. As a pastor, I want to do that. I don't think I've always done the best of that. I think there have been things in my life and in my ministry that I've always taken heed and taken things seriously, but have I fulfilled all the responsibility that God's given me?" And it's a challenge to look back and consider things and say, okay, where can I do better? And that's where God spoke to my heart, is saying, "Hey, look, there's some things that you could do better." And I think if we all view our ministries, we're going to be looking at, "Hey, maybe there's some things that can help me into." But that's something God spoke to my heart about, doing certain things better, fulfilling this call. So it is something special to be called to a ministry. Now, to work in a full-time ministry, not to have to work another job, to have the church provide for our needs, so that way I can pastor, that's huge. It doesn't happen everywhere. And I do not take that for granted. I do not take that lightly. And I think that's a great privilege. Sometimes it's like you got to pinch yourself that you're actually serving the Lord. I get to work around Christian people all the time. You know, sometimes my secretaries, and I'm just joking, both the secretaries are nice people. But you get to work around Christian people. Some of you work around people where they curse and they play lousy music. And they talk about bad things. To think the is such a special thing that I have the privilege of being as a pastor. It's awesome. I don't want to take that for granted. Also, I think about the ministry that God's given many of you, actually in all of you in some way, shape, or form. God's given you something to do. He's given Brother Joe the opportunity to be the assistant pastor. He's got deacons, got Sunday school teachers, you got helpers in classrooms, you got master club teachers. You go along with ushers, people in the choir, special music, people that play the piano, people that help back in the sound booth. We want to take good care of them because they can either make me sound really good or really bad. And, I don't know if anybody can make me sound good, but you can definitely make me sound bad. You know, there's all around people who help clean people. I mean, there's nursery workers. There's so people helping fellowships. There's such a long list of different ministries that provide it. Those who visit the elderly, those who visit the sick, those who reach out and door to door, those who reach out in soul winning and evangelism. Those are all things that are ministry related. And Paul is specifically talking to Archippus. And once again, we don't know exactly. It's either probably some type of minister or some type of deacon. I'm thinking pastor because of he wrote this and he said this to say this to his people. And here's three things I want you to think about. First thing is, the ministry is a serious calling. The ministry is a serious calling. He says, take heed. What does that word take heed mean? It means keep an eye on. It means you need to focus on it. It means keep an eye on what's happening in the ministry that God's given you. Don't get distracted. Not sure why Paul said this. Maybe this man was being neglectful. Maybe this man was becoming weary and well-doing. Don't get me wrong. The ministry can wear you out. As much as it is something that is a privilege and an honor and something that sometimes you get up. I remember when I got the call from Pastor Thompson, he told me that I was coming here. That he called me first. He says, I want you to pray about it and you say whether or not you believe it's God's will, and then I'll make my decision. And I was so excited for that month while we were packing up and getting things ready. I was thinking, I'm going to come to Elizabeth City, and set the world on fire. You know, we're going to evangelize. All those different things, and it was exciting. It was wonderful. I got the privilege of serving the Lord, and I see that sometimes in people's eyes and minds. I've actually had people, when I come up to them and ask them about doing a play part, their eyes light up. Well, I want to do that. I've also talked to many people who, hey, do you want to do a play part? No, that's not my calling. Understand that we have certain gifts and certain talents, and God calls us to all type of things. But what is that ministry that God's given you? Even being a husband and a father, a wife and a mother, you know, having parents, even all those different things, privileges and ministry opportunities. Take heed to it. Take it seriously. Keep your eye on it. I know that I played soccer growing up more than anything. I enjoyed basketball the most. But in Little League, I played baseball. And the one thing they would always tell you to do, keep your eye on the ball. And you keep your eye on the ball. And, you know, you see some guys get up there and they're wiggling their bat and wiggling their hips and they just want to look good. And they're paying attention to the crowd and they miss the ball that's going by. And, you know, they're missing the point. And here's the ministry thing. Take heed to it. Pay attention to what God's given you. Don't get distracted. Don't become burdened down with other things. Don't have so many things in your life that you cannot perform the ministry that God's given you. I've seen it happen in pastors. They get entangled with maybe a second job. And sometimes pastors got to do a second job. Sometimes pastors got to do a first job. Sometimes they get entangled with so many other things. You know what happens? They don't keep an eye on their ministry. But that's what God's given them to do. Take heed. Whatever it is that God's given you to do, do it with all your heart. Do it with all your might. Do it as unto the Lord. Don't get your eyes on everything in this world. Don't get your eyes sidetracked. I know that there's a, and I'm not picking on, because pastors need recreational time, and I know that they go out and do things, but sometimes, you know, they go chasing golf balls, or they go hunting, and you see all these things, you're wondering, when do they serve? And nothing, like I said, I know that you guys are going to start watching me more careful. I don't hunt and I don't go chase golf balls, just so you know. But there are things that I do for enjoyment and recreational, and many times you use that as an outreach time too. Keep your eyes focused. 1 Timothy 4:16 puts it this way, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Someday we will stand before God and we will give an account for the ministries that he has given to us. Someday I will stand before God about how I served as your pastor. You go to Hebrews chapter 13, you look at verse number 17. To you, you might look at that verse and you kind of snare at it. To me, it's a very convicting verse, where it talks about obeying them that have the rule over you, talking about how they're going to give an account that you wanted to do it with joy. And it's convicting, because someday I'm going to give an account for the things that are done here. And there are some things that I think in the past that I should have done better, could have done better. And at the same time, there's no time to quit. One preacher put it this way, I thought it was interesting. It is always too soon to quit. Keep your knees down and your chin up. It's never the right time to quit. Now, there are some times when a pastor should retire. There are some times he retire from maybe a certain church because of a certain age or health issues. You don't retire from the ministry, though. You don't retire from being a Christian. You don't retire from serving. I think of Mr. Barry here trying to do the best he can. At the age of 98, he's doing really great. I know he's nowhere near that. So if I would have guessed wrong, I would have felt bad if I was too old. But he's there, and he has off the mission field, probably not even by his choice, really. And he's looking for a place to serve and looking for a place to plug in. And then I see people that are out here and they're serving their heart, old and young. And I think, man, that's the ministry. That's a wonderful thing. We need to learn to take heed. You need to keep an eye on the things that God's given you. Keep an eye on the ministry that he's given you. And that's what he says here. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry. Second thing I want you to think about, not only is it a serious calling, and I've already alluded to this, it's a special calling. And I know what some people are going to think, say, Pastor, that works for you because you're a pastor. You know God's called you to do that. And that's wonderful. I'm glad it's special for you. But for me, I don't have any specific full-time calling. God's given you a gift, a talent. It's special. Why is that? Because it came from God. The reason why I serve God today as a pastor is because God called me. Not because my wife told me, not because my mom told me, my dad told me, or my grandparents told me, or because they were preachers in front of me. It's because God called me into the ministry. God's given me something specific to do. And that's the reason, and that's I'm interested in this, because we've received this from the Lord. The Bible says in Acts 20, verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count on my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course of joy and the ministry which I have received to the Lord Jesus. The ministry that I've received to the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It's something that we receive from the Lord. So if God's given you a talent and gift and he's put you someplace, you receive that from God, then let's take heed to it. And there are a lot of people who are pastors, and we'll just use pastors as an example because that's what I think archiepiscopate is. You know, some people are pastors because of the fact that they do it for a paycheck. I don't know why, but they do it for a paycheck. They do it for power, and they do it for authority. They do it for recognition or notoriety, and they do it because they feel like everybody's got to listen to you. But that's not the reason why you become someone who's called into a ministry. You do it because God gave you that ministry. That's what it is. It's not about you. It's not about the benefits. It's not about being appreciated even. There is excitement in serving the ministry. And we should never boast of our work. We should never boast of the things that we do. 2 Corinthians 10:17 says, but he that glorifieth, let him glory in the Lord. He says, none of us should be glorying in our ministry. We should be glorying in the Lord that he's given us this opportunity to minister to people. And it's something that we should take heed to. And it's something that's not only serious, it's special because it came from the Lord. Think about it. Like we mentioned this morning, don't try to base your usefulness on yourself. Let God determine what your usefulness is going to be. Let God determine on the influences that you're going to have. I love hearing the stories about how men and women have influenced people that you've never heard of, you've never known of. I can tell you certain names that you might have heard me mention before in my life, such as Bob Boyle or Gene Stevens or other people that you had never ever known, probably never ever met, but they made a difference in my life. They influenced me, and it was something that was wonderful, was great. Well, I know we know the name Kimball, because Kimball was the guy who won D.L. Moody to the Lord. He was a Sunday school teacher. I think it was Edward Kimball. He was a Sunday school teacher. He went to visit Moody at work. He went back to visit him and talk to him about the love of God, and that God loved him and that he needed to be saved. And he got saved that day. And that young man was D.L. Moody. He went on to become one of the greatest evangelists in the world. He shared the gospel with 100 million people, as well as founding Moody Bible Institute and Moody Church in Chicago. The story doesn't end there. Through his ministry, Moody was responsible for a London pastor named F.B. Meyer coming to faith. Meyer was responsible for J. Wilbur Chapman coming to faith. Chapman influenced Billy Sunday, who even was integral in the part of Mordecai Ham, and then Ham was responsible for leading a young man named Christ named Billy Graham. And, you know, these are people, and that Kimball guy said, I got this group of teenage boys I'm working with, and this is the ministry God's given me. It's special. There's a young man in my class that doesn't seem like he's too interested. I'm going to go talk to him at his work. And he talks to him at his work, and he receives Christ, and he does so much for God. Don't let yourself or someone else dictate your usefulness for God. Just what is God going to do with your 5 loaves and 2 fishes? It's a special ministry. I'm not in it because someone asked me to do it. I'm in it because I received it of the Lord. And I think about people who were influenced by the Lord, that there are a bunch of no-name people out there. And I think it's wonderful that we should be careful not to boast about our work. I think it's that we be careful not to compare ourselves with one another. Leave our usefulness to God. Remember, we got this from the Lord. That's how we should look at this ministry. Third thing, not only is it serious, not only is it special, it's specific. So what do you mean specific? Well, you look at the verse again. And say to Archippus, Take heed to the ministry which, what's that next word? Thou hast received. It's not somebody else's ministry. It's your ministry that God's given you in the Lord. Then it's that thou fulfill it. Now, what does that word fulfill mean? It means to fill it full. And that means, John Phillips put it this way about Archippus. He said, Archippus was supposed to view his ministry as a vessel in which he would pour his whole life into. It's an empty vessel. Here's your ministry. Now pour your life into it. And get everything you can out of it. I know sometimes we give kids those little drink boxes, or Capri Suns. And you know how much fluid ounces is in that? Like 6 ounces, 8 ounces. You know, if we give them that first, by the time they get their food, it's already gone. And, you know, I've seen them sit there and suck it dry. You know, it's there and they're slurping around or that, or they're blowing it up so that way it can become big and small. They're getting everything they can out of those Capri Suns because that's something they enjoy. It's usually not enough to be sufficient. Usually we give them some water after it. But I think that's what he's talking about. Fulfilling the ministry means getting everything out of it you can. Filling it up, putting your whole self into it and saying, this is my ministry. This is the things that God has called me to do. And I'm going to do it with all my might. I'm going to fulfill the thing that God has given me. Take heed to the ministry that thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And I think about that study. I remember reading Job chapter 42, and I remember many years ago when I first came here and candidated, I preached on Job 42:5, and there's this last, and verse 17 says, Job died being old and full of days. Meaning it wasn't just the fact he lived a long life, his days were full. And if you go when you study that out in the Bible, it says that about Isaac. He gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. It says about David. David was old and full of days. And it says in a couple other spots. And I think what the Bible is saying there is, look, don't just be old. Have your life full of days. Don't just let your ministry be long. Don't just sit there and serve and say, I've served in this ministry, in this Sunday school class for 20 or 30 or 40 years. Say, hey, I did it. And I saw God work, and it was full of days. I poured myself into it. I didn't just come and teach and leave and just leave unchanged. I invested myself, and I put myself in it. We don't want to just cross the finish line. We want to do it with joy. Don't just start it, finish it. And if you go back and you look at all these different Bible characters that were mentioned, these were people who were fulfilling their joy, fulfilling the ministry that God's given them. Well, you see, Demas didn't fill it. Demas, he forsook Paul, having loved the things of this world. Some people quit because they feel underappreciated. Some people quit because of the fact that they don't get their way. Some people quit because they get hurt. Sometimes somebody stabs in the back and all those different things. But this is not a ministry. God's never going to stab you in the back. He's never going to mistreat you. Why do we serve? It's because it's a ministry that the Lord has given us, and we should fulfill it. I say it's a specific calling, not just because it's something that only we can fulfill. I also say it's a specific calling because of the fact that God's given different people different ministries. As the pastor of the church, I pastor the church, not anybody else. That's the way God's designed it, and that's the way God made it. God's given us an assistant pastor, God's given us deacons, but there's one pastor who's called the overseer. There's one person who is going to have to stand for account for this year that as the pastor. And the responsibility with that is very great and very heavy. And that's why it says, thou ministry, thou hast received. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received. We got to be careful that we're doing the ministry that God's called us to do. And I've seen it been challenging in other days. Sometimes people like to try to do other people's ministries. And once again, I understand that. I understand why some people want to help. But I've seen how people sometimes, they want to take over. And they want to take part in somebody else's ministry. And they have no biblical authority to do that. No one else has biblical authority to run this church besides me. And I'm not saying that to say, hey, look, and put myself on a power trip. I'm just saying that if I'm going to fulfill the ministry that God's called me here to do, I'm going to have to be the one that's the overseer of the church. No individual. No group of individuals. And it's a challenge because of the fact that, and don't get me wrong, no one gives me a hard time, but that's a burden that I must learn to deal with and carry. It's a special burden. But it's something I must realize. So when I minister to people and when I preach, sometimes I try to be a kind person. I try to be understanding. But at the same time, there are certain ways that things should be done. And if they're done the way that I think they should be done as the overseer, I have the opportunity. God gives me deacons. Then the deacons in the Bible talk about how they're servants. But as times has come, they not only are servants, they're advisors. And they help. And then when we have deacons meetings, there's discussions. And many times I'll ask and I'll get people's thoughts. Brother Joe, oftentimes I'll ask people thoughts, especially things I'm not too familiar with. I'll ask people's opinions because I don't plan on being some type of dictator. And that's not the way. I don't plan on lording over people, especially even in their homes. But when it comes to the church, it comes to the ministry that thou hast received, it means that it should be run a certain way as the pastor oversees it. And that's just the reality of things, but people don't like that. Sometimes in the day and time we live in, I have people, not very many, not people who are faithful. Usually it's the people who don't show up very often. And I've been accused of different things, the people have said different things. And I don't think I've been very ugly to very many people over the years, and only if I was really pushed towards it. But there's one thing that God convicted my heart about is I'm going to be the one responsible to stand before the Lord. And I want your support. I want your prayers. And I want you to be taking the ministry that God has given you, take it seriously. I want you to see it's special, and I want you to see how to fulfill it. I don't want to see people trying to get involved in other people's ministries and running other people's ministries that they have no biblical authority to do. You have no biblical authority to come into my house and tell my wife what she should be doing. That's my responsibility. And I know you're thinking, who's going to tell Miss Amy what to do? And so there are different things. And people who like to try to run things and try to dictate things and do certain things, it's got to be careful. Do you have biblical authority to do things that you've been called to do? And you say, well, Pastor, you tell me I got to be here on time for Sunday school class. Well, that's because it's my responsibility to do that. But it's not your responsibility to tell me how I should do something. Now, while I take suggestions, my door is always open. Do I listen to people? All the time. Do I learn from people? All the time. All the time, I do. And I grow and I learn. People give examples and people give ideas, all those different things. But many times they're prayed through and they're really considered and they're really thought. I'm not a guy who does things usually off the cuff unless I know the Lord kind of tells me to do that. So I want you to see this message and I want you to understand this. That this ministry is something that is so special. And God says to this man, Archippus, I think he was the minister or the pastor maybe that was taking over while Epaphras was gone. Maybe there was more than one church in Colossae. I don't know. But he's a guy who had a ministry, and God says, I want you to, he says, now you tell, can you imagine that? You tell Archippus. Now Archippus, maybe he wasn't listening. Maybe it wasn't there when it was being read. Maybe he's telling them. Maybe it's the church supposed to tell the pastor, hey, pastor, we want you to take this seriously. We want you to have this. We want you to be able to fulfill the ministry that's here. And I'm going to do everything I can to help you fulfill that. I know that you've received this from God. You've been called of God to do this. And we're going to help you fulfill the ministry that God's given you here. Whatever that is. Could it be our church grows and becomes huge? It could. Could it be that God calls all of you guys to be missionaries and we start all over? It could. Whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. It's just fulfilling the ministry. So take heed. Don't get your eye off the ball. Put your eye on the ball, what God's given to you, the ministry that God's given to you, and don't sit there and have to try to be someone that's trying to dominate other people. Fulfill the ministry that God's given you. Take heed. Take it seriously. Once again, we can become distracted and we can start saying, well, I think this and I think this, and they lose the focus of what God should. And I've done that. I've sometimes gotten involved with other things. Nothing wicked, nothing sinful. But if I take too much time away from the ministry and take my eye off the ministry, you know what's going to happen? The devil's going to come in and he's going to start trying to convince people of other things. And that's not what we want. We care about this ministry here. We love this church here. And I don't preach very often on pastoral authority. It's found in the Bible. You can look it up for yourself. You can look it up where the Bible calls him the overseer. You can look it up that. And I know some of you might be thinking, well, Pastor, according to our Constitution, 75% of us can vote you out. You know, well, go ahead. But at the same time, that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants us to serve. The Lord wants us to take the heed of the ministry that's here. And remember, whatever your ministry is, God gave you that ministry. Take it seriously. It's special because it didn't come from me. He said, Pastor, sometimes you ask me to do things. I agree. Sometimes I don't feel like that's my calling. I just want to be a willful servant. We have so many willful servants. I'm thankful for that. But if you're a willful servant, let's take it seriously. Let's realize that there's a need and that the Lord's giving us this need and the pastor's asked you. And then also, let's look at it from the fact, I'm going to fulfill it. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to do everything I can to do the best I can. I'm going to pour myself into it. And sometimes I know people are stretched thin. Sometimes I look at my schedule and I say, there's no way I can do this one thing that I really, really want to do really well, and I'm going to forget everything else. Sometimes you're stretched thin, and sometimes you've got to do the best you can, and the Lord will help you with that. But do not let some person or some individual or yourself rate your usefulness for God. Give your usefulness over to the Lord and let the Lord decide what he wants to do with your life. Let the Lord have it. Let me encourage you today. It is a serious ministry. It's a special ministry, and it's a specific ministry. Don't quit. Ask the Lord what he wants you to be in, and then give it your all. So let me ask you the question. Do you understand you have a serious calling? Do you understand this is not games? This is not a personal vendetta. This is not some type of personal way to build yourself up. This is not something that the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is not some type of game to play with. This is God's work. Not only is it serious, do you understand that how special it is? Not only are we saved, not only are we on the team, we actually get to get in the game. I remember hearing Kenny Baldwin talk about that one time. He's like, I got saved. I was just happy sitting on the bench, and then God called me and put me in the ministry. I actually got to play in the game. And it's the same thing. It's salvation is such a wonderful truth, and it's so amazing and so awesome, and it's great, and it's fantastic and wonderful. But then he says, not only do you get to be saved on your way to heaven, I'm going to allow you to serve so you can help someone else get to heaven too. Wow, can it get any better? And then it's specific. Is it something that God's called you to do? Now fulfill it. And he will do that under the local church. And he'll do that. If you're serving here, it's like, well, I'm going to go rogue and do things against the pastor. That's not found there. It's just not. There's biblical authority. And many times people want to step away from the biblical authority they have, and they want to try to demonstrate authority that God's never given them. So we need to be careful. Now, once again, do I want suggestions? I do. Do I learn from them? I can. But I also want everybody to understand that this is something God spoke to my heart about doing better in specific areas, because I want to fulfill the ministry God's called me. Is it always easy? It's not. Is it something I need your help with? It is. God has planned that we would work together for the cause of Christ. And does it mean I plan on acting like a dictator? No, it just means that I'm not going to allow things to stay undone. If things need to be done, they need to be done in the right way, and they need to be done graciously as unto the Lord. But they also, things need to be accomplished the way that God wants them to get accomplished, because it is serious and it is special, and we need to be specific and fulfill it. Maybe God's spoken to your heart tonight about getting into a ministry. Maybe God's spoken to your heart tonight about taking it more seriously. Or maybe it's just praising the Lord that I'm saved and God's put me in a ministry. He's given me a place to serve. I don't want to do it halfway. I don't want to do it with an attitude. I want to do it because God gave me this ministry. And I'm going to do everything I can to fulfill it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord,